Welcome to Two Teas in a Pod. I'm Kate Diaz, a Manchester math teacher and elected president of CEA, the Connecticut Education Association. We are Connecticut's largest teachers union, representing tens of thousands of professional educators across the state.
And I'm Jocelyn Delancey, a fifth grade teacher in Darien, elected vice president of CEA and president of CEF, the Connecticut Education Foundation, CEA's charitable arm.
In every episode, you'll hear thought-provoking interviews, as well as actionable tips and strategies that you can implement in your daily life. We'll have stimulating discussions to help you become a more informed, an effective educator, and advocate for your students and the teaching profession.
Thanks for spending some time with us today. Now let's jump right into Two Teas in a Pod.
You know, when we think about all of the things we were able to get into statute to really put on the forefront for our teachers, it's incredibly important that we actually don't stop putting the pressure on our districts and we really do dive in and make sure that the things that we fought so hard for actually kind of roll out at least close to how we planned. I mean, I know you've been battling with TVAL. Talk about that for a minute.
It's been a little bit of a journey. The guidelines were published later than we would have liked, and some of the rollout has been a little bit messier than we would have anticipated. But the idea of teacher evaluation and overhauling the system is still the same, which is we are not changing necessarily how drastically different a plan looks.
Right.
What we've changed is the mindset behind the plan. And when we look at districts and say, you know, it seems big and scary to change something as important as teacher evaluation and leadership evaluation. And it is a little bit. But when we think about it in a way that's practical and kind of,
meaningful?
Yes, it's actually not that scary. It's
right.
Really looking at it in terms of what are we doing? We are removing ratings, which weren't successful.
Right.
To begin
didn't really
with.
Mean anything.
It didn't really do much for us.
Right.
We are changing how we indicate success. So instead of having standardized indicators, you have a wealth of different options on how you and your evaluator can look at your work and say, I'm being successful.
Right, right. Which is important because that's the power of the reflection, the communication, the idea that we're all kind of moving towards the same goals. I mean, this is really what we want, but the perception is, oh my gosh, we're overhauling, and that can be big and arduous. But what do teachers need to know in order to kind of hold their districts accountable for rolling this out the right
way? So teachers need to know that there's a timeline, but we don't need to rush, right? We don't need to just jump the gun and say, okay, we're going to hire a consultant or we're going to get somebody.
The world
in.
Does not need one more consultant.
To be honest, the consultants aren't going to be able to do what work really needs to be done, which is change the mindset and understanding
right.
of how we evaluate, how we have these conversations.
Why we
that
evaluate.
That it's a growth model system, how to look at a single competency rubric and say, you know what, Kate, you and I are just going to have a conversation about what's going on in your class and what you need
right.
from me as your evaluator to be supported. And maybe the teacher has some ideas and hopefully the evaluator has
right.
some ideas, right?
Absolutely.
We're coming to the table as a discussion. And so I think when we look at this, teachers can say, first of all, we have a right to be a part of this process. There should
yeah.
be educators on the PDEC, right?
Yeah. So everyone listening, if your district is not including teacher voice, you need to call your union president.
Correct. And best practice shares that there are two co-chairs from both bargaining units, an admin co-chair and a teacher co-chair. And so that allows for us to build consensus and that it's not one party over the other making decisions over how we're being evaluated. And it's really important to know that part of the PDEC's role, which is new, is that administrators' plans are also built and approved by the PDEC. So
isn't that exciting,
A
collaborative relationship.
And if those things are happening outside of the PDEC and then being brought in, that's time to say, hold on a second, that's not how this is supposed to work. And
right,
truly, there should be an equal amount of administrators and teachers on that
right. group. Because it impacts them both equally in theory.
And there should be voice from different places, right? It shouldn't mm-hmm. be all classroom teachers or all high school teachers.
Right, because special education, our social workers, counselors, SLPs, those are all going to be evaluated under this plan too.
And roles that don't necessarily have direct impact with students, right? Like the library media specialists who might have a, you know, depending on the building that they're in, they might have more of a teacher role than I'm going to directly be working
right.
with students.
But this idea that we're going to personalize this and make it meaningful and measure our success based on our performance goals, I think is really empowering, right? That's the goal here, is to create a system that's not about gotchas. It's not about being punitive. It's about saying, listen, how do we continue to grow and how do we continue to be advancing ourselves professionally in a meaningful way. And so, I mean, I think that's a real strong follow through. And I appreciate what you're saying about mindset being the shift, because in a lot of the asks that we made in this last session, shifting mindset was critical. I think about like school climate, right? The new legislation that really is about thinking differently about what school climate is inclusive of. And I think it's important for us to kind of continue to have that conversation that we're talking about. We are as staff members, right? We're included in school climate. We're not excluded in that process. And I think that's what the new legislation started to speak to, is we're all a part of climate.
And I think the biggest part of this is that some of these things were supposed to be happening already.
Right.
And I think that they kind of dropped the ball, to so to speak, in some spaces, that maybe school climate committees weren't necessarily meeting all the time. Maybe the
forehead never formed.
Or never formed, or they didn't include all the right voices, or surveys didn't go out, or only certain people were communicated with who got the surveys, and it wasn't really a reflection of the entire community. And I think some of the biggest wins in that school climate language shift is that we've really taken a look at the bullying language and whether or not that was helping students and educators have safer schools.
Right.
And it really wasn't. It was really tying people's hands in terms of some of the work that they could be doing. And now we've shifted that bullying language so that the definition of bullying has really kind of broadened, and it allows for us to look at dysregulated behaviors, harassing
right.
behaviors,
the
threatening
things that are impacting day to day, whether or not we can do what we need to do in classrooms. And I think it's important for us, you know, to always put out there that the intent of our goals with this language or legislation isn't to exclude, right? We're not trying to get kids out of school, because sometimes that's what people think. And I think it's important for us to really be clear. Our goal has always been and will always be to provide appropriate supports for kids when they need it and as quickly as possible, because often when we delay intervention, we magnify the problem that is occurring. And so I think our goal in this language and trying to be, you know, pull our building-based administrators into the responsibility of addressing these issues is about getting quick response, inclusive with parents. How do we help kids in a way that's helpful to everybody so that our schools are functioning better, right?
Well, and the other thing is putting in really clear protocols for how we communicate when we have students who have dysregulated, threatening, harassing, violent behavior,
right.
whatever they are, who's in charge there when that happens? Because I think sometimes no one really knows the right line of communication or who's the one ultimately responsible for getting the supports or for making sure those supports are in place.
Right.
And what this language does is really say, no. Every school has to have a plan. And in that plan, it includes having an administrator responsible for making sure these pieces get put together and that the student gets the care, resources, and support that they need. And I think that that is what's so critically important.
When does this roll out? Like, if I'm in a classroom and listening to this podcast, which we know so many of you are, and you're not hearing this conversation go on, should I be alarmed? When should I be alarmed if I haven't heard
anything
about this?
So you should be paying attention, because this language doesn't fully go into effect until 2025. But districts have the option to put a school climate plan in place as early as 2024. So it's kind of that wonky language that may implement and then must implement. So you've got you can make changes and probably, wink, wink, nod, nod, should make some changes.
We'd like you to work on this sooner rather than later.
It's not mandatory until 2025. So when we're looking at the work that CEA is doing, we've really been pushing on teacher evaluation, because that is so critical.
Doesn't that implement officially 2024?
2024. And the plans are really due July 1. But I think that the State Department is looking to have those plans kind of hashed out before then.
Right.
So that they can kind of collect them, review them, approve them. And
get everybody trained to do this mindset shift.
We're working on being really collaborative with the State Department and the EES Council, which is the Evaluation and Support Council. But we're understanding that that material isn't getting out as quickly or as collaboratively as we would like to see. So we are working to make sure that all educators have some of the things in place. And if you follow the daily or you get the emails from CEA, you should have seen some of those resources, especially if you're
Shout out to our staff member, Kate Field, for putting together some really spectacular resources. But to just kind of timeline this, so we know that teacher evaluation needs a full implement by next fall. So that should be a conversation we're paying attention to here now in the absolute present, making sure our teacher voice is at the table. When we talk about the school climate committees and the shift there, we may see some of that emerge this school year. Some really proactive districts may try to get ahead of it, especially if they feel their TVAL stuff is under control. They might dip into that work. But realistically, we're probably not going to see those fully roll out till maybe next year, and really kind of looking for that to be solidly follow through in that time frame. But it's things that we as teachers could be asking about and inquiring, because I fear, you know, if we don't, does it actually happen, right? Like if we're not asking and we're not being on this,
right,
what happens?
And I think it's an awareness issue, right? Like we have to make sure that if something comes down to us, if all of a sudden you're getting an email that says, oh, here's our new plan for X, like it's time to start asking the questions. Well, what
right.
teachers were on this committee? Who picked them?
Right.
You know, why didn't I get an opportunity to say that I wanted to be involved?
Right.
So we know that sometimes this is done really, really well in schools. We know that sometimes this is not. We know that sometimes people pick the smile and nodders, or the people who they know will just
do. Or the people who are physically closest to them.
Right. Or the newer teachers who, you know, you may want to be involved in this, but you've got so many other responsibilities
right.
that you're a part of that you can actually say, you know what, this isn't my space right now. Like I would love to be involved
right.
in this, but I think that, you know, Kate's a better voice for, mm-hmm. for this work at this current moment, because being a part of a PDAC or being a part of the school climate committee,
right.
those are really, honestly, I mean, if I were chosen to be on one of those, I'd feel super honored that my district.
Because they're huge opportunities.
Great opportunities
yeah.
for voice and for input and for leadership practice. But they also, if you're going to do this work well, it is time consuming. I
right.
mean, it definitely does put you in a space where you're adding another responsibility
mm.
onto the work that you're doing. And there are people who are really good at that. And there are people who,
right.
depending on where you are with your spaces, you know, we still are talking about SEL, right? We want
yep.
well, healthy teachers who have the work-life balance, but these are really important roles. And we really want to make sure that we have
yeah.
the right people in those spaces, because our teacher voice, we fought so hard to get that teacher voice. We earned that teacher voice.
Well, and we believe in that teacher voice.
Correct.
We believe that it's important. And I think the other space, you know, that kind of complements all this, you know, we continue to talk about indoor air quality. And that really is falling under the health and safety committees that districts are supposed to have, and following through, trying to build accountability. We have all this grant money that has a December 1st deadline for application, and we need our districts to be doing that. So if you're sitting in a classroom and you're, you know, fighting some of the mold battles that we have going on across the state, or you're dealing with, you know, temperatures that are not regulated, don't be shy about saying, hey, what's my district doing? Are we applying for these grant dollars? Because there's hundreds of millions of dollars on the table that districts can access, but only if they apply. You know, it's like the lottery. You can't win if you don't play. And so in respect to those efforts, I think we have to be vigilant as well, because we fought really hard to get those monies allocated. So we need to also ensure that we don't have a district that throws up their hands and goes, this process is consuming. It's difficult. I don't want to deal with it. Well, your health and safety is worth a little inconvenience. And if your district needs help, we're, you know, we've certainly positioned ourselves as strong advocates, CEA, and we're happy to support. You know, if you have a superintendent who's saying, I just don't even know where to start, you should call us, because we're going to help you. That's too important to us.
Well, and we do have some systems in place that we can actually support some of this work as well. I know that the Connecticut Education Foundation is working with UConn Health. And I know we did get some Fox air filters into some classrooms. And the really cool thing about this project
is, and you delivered some to Danbury.
We did, and we're working on Bridgeport. And,
yeah.
and I believe that Thomaston is going to take a couple. And so we're getting those out into districts. We don't have a lot of them right now, but I'm certain that we could continue to collaborate with
yep.
UConn. There was a grant for these, and they're just these really cool wart filters and a box fan put together that actually
cool.
really clean the air. And they don't cost a lot. They're about $100 initially, and then a $65 replacement filter once a year, but the way that they clean the air and take the particles out is really cool. So what we did with the foundation is we looked at some districts that had applied for grants and got denied grants. So we were able to say, okay, you know, Danbury put in for grants for the HVAC system and for whatever reason.
Didn't get it.
And so we were able to get them some filters. So looking at districts that are actually trying to make changes and for whatever reason hit a roadblock, we're actually able to get in and do some supportive work. And the cool thing is that the classrooms make the filters themselves.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Get the kids involved. I think that's, you know, it's the ideal. Actually, the ideal is buildings that have excellent HVAC systems, you know, temperature controls that make sense. That's ideal. But in the interim, giving us an opportunity to work with kids and develop them and their awareness, we'll take it. We'll definitely take it.
I would agree. I think getting back on the theme of changes that we're really fighting for, I have to say that some of the work that we're doing with special education is also very exciting because I think we had that task force. We have CEA leadership. Both our secretary and treasurer are sitting on the special education task force. So Stephanie and Tara are coming in and speaking out for what we think we could see positive changes in special education. And we are actually presenting at the SEEK conference where we are going to be really working with advocates, parents, administrators, superintendents to...
Yeah, and the legislators, everybody who's got to come together to help support our special education community.
Well, and really start asking the questions of how could this look different and how could this be better for our teachers so that they can give kids the supports that they need.
Yeah, and I think that's a really, you know what, I think when we kind of wind down this notion of, all right, this is too important, I would also encourage us in all of the challenges we've faced in the last few years, I think we've learned to be a little bit more creative. We've learned that there's a lot more we can accomplish. And I think we have opportunities on the horizon to really talk about being innovative. And that's when education starts to get exciting. And I look forward to us having even more conversations about what our potential is. Because when I think about our members, our teachers across the state of Connecticut, what they're engaged in, the thinking that they're doing about how do I help my students here today and how do I help improve a system that needs to grow as our students and adults have grown. And so, you know, there's a lot of opportunity, but we're going to need to kind of keep on track with all of the things we've won and continue to look for other opportunities to win. So I'm with you, Jocelyn.
And I think I would be remiss if we didn't talk about belief and, you know, the fight that we are putting in and not give a shout out to Norwich.
Oh, yeah. Talk about a group who didn't stop believing. Those are some powerful educators. And we'll have to get them on our podcast because I think, you know, Bill, the president of Norwich, Katie, who ran their task force, these were really powerful people who really took a risk. And I think, you know, they showed a lot of courage. And that was one of the things that was really almost palpable in the space. Like, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do, but I'm nervous about it. I'm putting myself out there in a way that feels different. And, you know, I applaud that group of teachers and educators and parents that came together. It was probably one of the most amazing things I've seen in a long time.
Well, and I think, you know, we've been in spaces where our workplace wasn't necessarily the happiest to work. And in this case, it was seriously detrimental to the health, wellness, and education of not only the teachers, but especially the students in that community. And to see just the visceral, like palpable change in the air when they recognized that there was a hope and that they appointed the interim superintendent just to see the difference in that community. And we know that this is what happens when our members collaborate and feel empowered and strengthened.
The district is better for it. And so special shout out to our friends in Norwich. We'll get them on.
Yeah, I think that will be really fun. So I'm really excited. I think we have some real positive things to look forward to this year. I will not stop believing in the work that we do and in the wins that we have.
We want to thank all of our members for all you do and for listening to the latest edition of Two Teas in a Pod.
For more education talk, subscribe to Two Teas in a Pod and find us at CEA.org/podcast or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like what you heard? Share a podcast with your friends and colleagues and spread the word because we are
stronger together.